A careful study from Assyriologist Donald Weissman indicates Jonah's warnings to the city of Nineveh in ancient Assyria fits the time frame of a total solar eclipse on June 15, 763 BC. Could Jonah's warnings be followed with a blacked-out sun? The repentance of an entire pagan city the size of Nineveh would be a greater miracle than for Jonah to survive getting swallowed by a fish. Fast forward to the Gospels. When the Pharisees petitioned Jesus for a sign in Matthew 12, he responded, "An evil and adulterous generation craves a sign, yet no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." America is on the cusp of its second solar eclipse in 7 years, but there are extremely eerie patterns that defy the word coincidence, such as the second eclipse will pass through seven cities named Nineveh. Combine both these areas where the two eclipses pass, and it forms an X pattern directly across the continental U.S. This second eclipse is on April 8th. Open Exodus 4:8, and we see the following. "Then the Lord said, 'If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second.'" Keep in mind, there is no word in Hebrew for coincidence, perhaps with very good reason. Please consider joining us for this exploration in the heavens alongside the telescopic lens outlined from Scripture in Jesus, Jonah, and the Great American Eclipse. Hello, everybody. My name is Mark from the Russick Outlook. Thanks for joining. Today's discussion is Jesus, Jonah, and the Great American Eclipse. Here I sit in mid-March, a couple days before, and right around the corner in early April, there will be a pretty massive solar eclipse across a good portion of the continental United States. The reason that we're looking at this is there's an enormous amount of facts, relationships to dates, areas that it's being covered, as well as biblical references. And when you accumulate all of this information, it's pretty astounding. And you have to go, this is beyond coincidence. And the other reason is in 2017, there was a similar eclipse and it covered the other part. And you'll see, I'll show you some pictures. But one goes this way and the other goes this way, where kind of X marks the spot. And I'll point this out. And in between all this, there's a partial solar eclipse, there's a lunar eclipse, and it really looks like it's pointing towards something. And I'll let you be the judge, but I'm going to bring out these highlights, and I'm going to show you some things that is pretty startling. And I also, in this research, I found some things that tied to the Bible that I was not aware of that, again, it's the goodness and the majesty of the Lord, and we'll get into all of this. Before I do, I'd ask you if you wouldn't mind, please, whatever the platform you're on, YouTube, Rumble, please, the podcast, if you could ring the bell, hit the like and the subscribe button, subscribe to the channel. We just notify you when new topics come out, new videos. And please feel free to share the information. The more, the better. And that's pretty much it. Oh, I did forget. Please go to the Russick Outlook, sign up for our email list, and we notify you not only of new videos coming out, but we're also doing other presentations. Once a month, we do an online Bible study where it's interactive. You get to participate, and there's a lot of Q&A, time for prayer, and whatnot. So please go to our website, russickoutlook.com, and sign up for our email list. But let's get into this. So as I said, Jesus, Jonah, and the Great American Eclipse. And if you're following me on video, and I'll show you a few other references here, there are some artists that this goes many, many years back that felt like the United States looks a little bit like or can resemble a whale or a giant fish, if you will. And that may tie into the story of Jonah, and you'll see as we go along. So a little bit of background. I started the Russic Outlook a number of years back, and I just started writing. I like to write, and it was a blog. And one of the early topics was this eclipse that happened in 2017. It really caught my eye. And so I'm going to show you a little excerpt of what I wrote about it, because it was looking at the time to 2024, knowing, you know, the patterns that were coming astronomically. And again, even back then, myself, others were looking at this and saying, you know, is the Lord up to something here? Is there something that we need to keep a watchful eye on? So let me show you this. I titled it at the time, Heaven's Admonition for the USA. And if you're following me on video, that literally is me in the parking lot of where I was working at the time. Same company today, but a different location. And at any rate, I had the special glasses on so that you could see it and your eyes wouldn't be impacted by looking directly at this eclipse. So I just want to point out here what it says in the yellow highlight. And it shows you the pattern of how it ran across the United States from the Oregon area out through South Carolina. A total eclipse is not possible to be witnessed anywhere in the galaxy except for the people on Earth. This is because the sun just happens to be 400 times larger in diameter than the moon, and the sun just happens to be 400 times farther away than the moon. This simply means that when the moon can perfectly cover the sun from our view due to incredibly precise mathematical equations. So in other words, it's got that very specific diameters where, because it's so far behind, it looks like it's blocking it out. Again, to me, it just shows the awesomeness and the specificity of how the Lord designed Earth, man, to inhabit the Earth. And, you know, it's very unique and very special. So what happened was, well, let me go back to the video, and I'll show you. The picture on the right shows you the what we would call maybe a cross pattern or an X of where these two will meet. And it's, again, follow me on the yellow highlight. If you look at the pattern of where this past eclipse crossed and the second one, which is just a few weeks away, it joins to form a cross-like image, or if you prefer, a bullseye pattern, over the New Madrid earthquake seismic zone. Looking even more closely at this bullseye, we see several states with a boundary that has been defined by two rivers crossing, the Mississippi and the Ohio rivers. This directly travels over the seismic zone and right over where the rivers meet. So this, you know, I found interesting. The Ohio and Mississippi rivers join at exactly where the paths of this totality cross each other. Looking to Scripture as a possible reference. I'm only saying this is possible, but I found this interesting. In Isaiah 18:7, it says, "At that time," which is referring to the end times, "a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people tall and smooth of skin, whose land the rivers divide." So that could easily be us. I believe we are living in what the Bible describes as the end times. We don't know exactly, but we've covered that many times before in the past. So the other interesting thing here is over the seismic zone of the Madrid pattern there, and the rivers crossing. So I did show you here, back to video for a second. I go back to the Aleph and the Tav, which is the old Hebrew, which equals Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end for God. And if you look at how the Tav was originally written in Hebrew on the lower left, it bears very similar resemblance to where this bullseye pattern, this cross pattern will happen. Again, can't say that for sure, but as we get along, you're going to see some more that even more with more definition, I'll say, or more assuredness that it looks like that. The other interesting thing here is, and we'll get into this, this pattern went through seven cities named Salem. Salem used to be the original name of which people refer to as Jerusalem, Jerusalem, right? So again, people might say, hey, that's a stretch. just pointing out what happened, all right? And also, on this day, it happens to be the first of Nisan, which is on the Hebrew calendar, year 5784, which is the Feast of the Lord. And in Exodus 12, it says this, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, 'This month is to be for your first month, the first month of your new year.'" So when this happened, it was in the first month of the new year. Again, I'm just pointing out the facts. So people were looking at this at the time and saying, you know, what's going on here? Now, there was a number of calamities that did come right afterwards, and I point them out here. If some of you remember the Las Vegas killing where somebody opened up in the casino, started hailing bullets, I believe over 80 people were shot and killed, I believe. Hurricane Harvey was one of the worst hurricanes damage-wise in American history. This happened in the lower Texas area. Hurricane Irma and massive, massive California wildfires. And we know that California has been prevalent to wildfires before in the past, but these were off the charts. I don't know if you go back to 2017, you'll see that people were coming in from all over the country to help them. You know, it was that bad. So that happened in 2017. Now we're gonna do a little back and forth. I'm gonna show you what Scripture says about signs in the sun, the moon, and the heavens. In Genesis 1, 14 through 15, most people know the scripture. I'll go back to the screen. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from night. Let them be for signs and for seasons." Fast forward over to Psalm 19, 1 through 6. "The heavens declare the glory of God." And follow me in the yellow highlight in the lower. "In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber." So you'll see this. We're going to get into what signs in the sun specifically mean. We're going to compare the Gentiles to the Hebrews or the Jews. Another example of signs in the sun, Luke 21, and this is referring to the end of days in the tribulation. "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and in perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what's coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken." That's Luke 21, 25 through 26. My point here is bringing out examples of how the Lord uses the heavens for signs. Continuing, let's go to the video again. Amos 5 through 8, I'm pointing out how he specifically mentioned the star clusters. He says, "He made the Pleiades and Orion. He turns the shadow of death into morning and marks the day." But my point is he's naming these, and we know what these are today. So in Job 38, 31 through 33, this is the Lord speaking to Job, and he says this, "Can thou bind the influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion?" Incidentally, these are the only two star clusters that have a very specific gravitational relationship. And it goes on to say, "Can they bring forth the Maseroth," which stands for constellations. So this is the Hebrew study of the stars. It has been distorted by the world, by Satan, by evil, you know, where people will base their futures on the zodiacs. Everything I'm describing in this has nothing to do with zodiacs, but the Lord did use the heavens, the stars, the sun, and the moon for signs. But I am pointing it out because we're going to look at some things. I'm going to take just a brief mention on some things in constellations, and in a later study down the road, I'm going to go a little bit more in depth into it. Job 9:7-9, back to video. "Which alone spreads out the heavens and treads upon the waves of the sea, which makes Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades." Isaiah 40:26, "Lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created things, that brings out the host of number. He calls them by names." So he calls the stars by names. What's interesting here is if you think about all of the galaxies and the billions and billions of stars, but yet it says the Lord calls them by name. So he pointed out his command. So I'm sorry, when Elohim was questioning Job, he pointed out his command of the Maseroth, which are the 12 signs in the circle of constellations. A couple more verses, and then I'm going to get deep into what is coming up for us in April and what the Bible has to point out. So back to Scripture. Luke, we covered this, and there shall be signs in the sun and the moon. Then if you look at the constellations, and again, I'm going to cover this more down the road. The first one begins with Virgo, the virgin, and it ends with Leo, the lion. So interestingly, from the virgin birth to the lion from the tribe of Judah, and people may say, hey, that's a stretch. You know, I will cover this down the road, but I will show you that all 12 constellations tell a story of the gospel in the stars. And it has nothing to do with the zodiacs. It's really how the Lord put the word of God into the stars, into the heavens, before the Bible was written. That's how amazing I can go on and on about just how incredible the Lord's depth and vastness and richness of his word is. And then pointing to what everybody knows, that when at the birth of Jesus the Messiah, there were the three that looked for the star to find the Messiah. So again, they saw a sign that led them. So let's see if I go to the video here. This is important. I really believe this. Proverbs 25:2 says this: "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the glory of kings to search it out." So by us looking into this and trying to learn more of the Lord hides things from us, and he wants us to engage him. He wants us to study his word. He wants us to dig deeper, and it is to the glory of the kings to find it. I will tell you, I have a natural curiosity. I want to learn more. I want to see more of what the Lord is offering and showing us, because I just not only find the journey amazing, but I would hope that over time, you know, me relaying this to you and maybe you to some other people who don't know the Lord, some of this information can help them overcome any objections they might have, because everything we're pointing out here just points consistently to the veracity and the reliability and the integrity of the Word of God. So let's go back to video here. So the planets, the stars, which shine brightly at night, were placed in the heavens to not only give you light, but also to be signs of God's plan. They are to lead you to the worship of Jesus Christ, not to help you predict your future. Numbers 24:17 prophesied about the star, which would lead the wise men to Jesus Christ. I see him, but now I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and batter the brow of Moab, and destroy all the sons of tumult, who was the scepter of Israel. So he is Jesus. He is the one to whom the stars led these kings, and whom the stars, I believe, still lead today. We find things in the heavens through studying astronomy and because of computer software, and I've covered some of this in the past, we can see things not only where how they line up today, how, you know, the pattern of how it's going to line up a week from. This is how we know that this other solar eclipse is coming, and we can also date back, you know, following those same patterns, and you will see, I'm going to show you something that goes back to the time of Jonah, which is part of the reason for the description of this title. So staying with constellations for a second, I want, you know, there's 12 constellations, and there's a gentleman named Troy Brewer, a pastor down in Texas, and part of what he studies, he's amazing, but he looks at numbers. He's wired that way. He sees numbers, and he believes that the Lord shows patterns and sequences in numbers. So some of this information here I got from him. But if you want to look him up, Troy Brewer, the pastor down in Texas. There are 12 major signs that progressively rotate through the heavens, which are the constellations. This means a new one comes up in the sky every month and a new one goes down. There are 12 constellations, 12 months in a year, one for every month. 12 marks when God is in control of something. It's the number he likes to use for ruling and reigning. That's why Jesus declared he could call on the power of 12 legions of angels. This is something here that I'm going to show you that I never saw. It just, you know, amazed me with the numbers. In 2 Kings 19:35 and Isaiah 37:36, one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians, just one. Jesus said he could call down 12 legions of angels, and one legion we know is 6,000 angels. Therefore, 12 legions of angels would include a minimum of 72,000 angels. That's who he had at his disposal when he was being accosted in Jerusalem. So he broke this down. He said, this is the number of angels that Jesus said was available. When you multiply 72,000 angels with the ability to kill 185,000, there was enough combined strength at Jesus' disposal to have annihilated at least 13,320,000,000,000. Clearly, you know, more people than ever lived on the earth. But it just hearkened to the number 12 here. So some other points of how we look at 12 and the significance of it, and how that may also tie as we get near the end to 2 times 12, 24. We're in 2024. Jesus had 12 disciples. He set up the church with the foundation of 12 teachable, yieldable men that would drop their plans to follow him anywhere. The New Jerusalem has 12 gates and 12 foundations, Revelation 21. There are 12 pearls and 12 angels associated with the New Jerusalem. The measurement of that city as seen is 12,000 furlong or stadia, while the wall will be 144 cubits, which is 12 times 12. Again, Revelation 21. The first recorded words of Jesus were at the age of 12. There were 12 baskets of fragments left over when Jesus fed the crowd of people. And there were 12 spies sent out when Moses in Numbers 13. And then Elijah built an altar of 12 stones when he called fire down from heaven. Some additional ones. It is found at the foundation of Scripture. The word 12 is recorded 187 times in the Bible and is found mostly in 1 Chronicles 26 times and Revelation 22. The word 12th, is an additional 23 times, and then you have the 12 tribes of Israel. So clearly, you know, the number 12 is very, very significant, and it is, you know, very clear as we go through this, 7 being a number of perfection, 3 being the number of the Trinity, and I can point out other things that are associated there. But I just wanted to emphasize the order of the universe, that God isn't a God of order, that God is a God of divine design, supernatural design. The universe, you're created supernaturally, but you have a design in you, you know, heart, lungs, brain, eyes, ears. You know, there's just something miraculous in every one of us. Then although we have a lot of these same attributes, we're all uniquely different. So now I want to go to the calendars, begin with signs and for seasons. That's how we keep track. You have the Hebrew calendar, which is based upon the lunar calendar. So we know what that is. And then you have the solar or the Gregorian calendar, the Gentile calendar, if you will, and that goes by the sun. So the lunar, the Hebrew calendar, which is also a lot of Muslim calendars, 360 days a year, the moon tied to the symbol of Muslims or Islam, and then you have the Gregorian calendar, the sun calendar. I want to point some things out here to make it a little bit obvious to you. So moon is the word for Israel. Sun is the word for nations. So when you see something specific like what we're going to get into with a solar eclipse, that points to potentially a word for the nations. If we're looking at a lunar eclipse or events in the moon, that points to the nation of Israel. So let me give you an example on video. The blood moons, many people have heard of this. This is a tetrad of four successive blood moons that happened to have occurred in 1492, 1949 and 50, 67 and 68, and 2014 and 2015. And they always land on Jewish holidays. So that alone, the fact that they land on Hebrew holidays, should tell you enough. But then other things that happened. 1492, the Jews were expelled from Spain. Also when Columbus discovered America, America being the most friendly nation to Israel. 49 and 50, 1948, Israel sets up the or establishes the nation of Israel. 49 and 50 is when they put their government in place, upholding the structure of the nation of Israel today. 67 and 68, certainly the recapturing of Jerusalem, the Golan Heights, the Six-Day War. And then 2014 to 2015, some people are not too clear on this. I think it points to when the Jews were given access to the Temple Mount. Not that it's not difficult today, but you began to see more and more, and you see Jews or Jewish people or Hebrews up there, Israelites, more prevalent today. And then Joel 2:31 says, the sun, this is end of days, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So, you know, and we've seen examples now of blood moons and how that can be. And I'm going to show you some things as we break this down a little bit further of how this sun and moon comes into place. So I pointed out the X. Then on October 14th, 2023, the moon passed over the sun. There was a lunar eclipse, which was visible over the United States and parts of Central and South America. And this is called a ring of fire. I'll show you on video where it's partial. The moon is partially blocking the sun. And you, if you're following me on video, you see that. So unlike a solar eclipse, the moon will be made the moon will not completely block the sun and make day appear like night. It will, however, make the sun appear like a ring of fire and has opportunities to be equally exciting to be photographed. The difference between a lunar and a total eclipse is the moon's orbit varies slightly in the distance from the Earth. If an eclipse occurs when the moon is at its furthest point during its orbit, it will appear to be slightly smaller and not large enough to cover the sun entirely, and I show you the example of what that looks like. So, interestingly, Zechariah 2, 3 through 5, I find myself over the last couple of months looking more and more and more at the book of Zechariah. I recently did a video on it. It's just an amazing, amazing book. I would recommend you watching the video if you're not familiar with Zechariah, because it's just, especially for today. So Zechariah 2, 3 through 5, while the angel who was speaking to me was leaving, another angel came to meet him. He said, run, tell that young man, Jerusalem will be a city without walls because of the great number of people and animals in it, and I myself will be a fire, a wall of fire around it. So the Lord will be the protector around the city of Jerusalem, and he calls it a ring of fire. So what I find interesting is many in the terrorist circles, Iran, Hezbollah in Libya, many in Syria, are referring to their what they're constructing as enemies of Israel. They're calling it the Ring of Fire. They call it the ring of fire around Israel, and I show you again on video in the lower right. So what I am getting at here, though, too, is you had this lunar eclipse. So we now know about the two solar eclipses, and then you had this past October, this lunar eclipse. So what's very even more interesting is the pattern that it forms. So remember when I said the Aleph and the Tav, the Alpha, the Omega, and we looked at the Tav, which is where that first cross happens. Now enter this lunar eclipse, and I'm showing you on video what that looks like, and it almost looks completely exactly like the Aleph. So I show you in the upper right, the ancient Hebrew writing. This is, would have been around how it would have looked at the time of Jesus, the Aleph and the Tav. And right there in the middle, coincidence or not, is a town where this crossing, where you see April 8th, 2024, where you see the two eclipses right in the middle. These are the two solar eclipses, and that is called Little Egypt. And then you see on the right of what came down this past October, the lunar eclipse, the Ring of Fire. So now I'm getting into some more astounding facts, I find. So I mentioned before that the first eclipse went through seven cities named Salem. People would refer to Jerusalem before it was named that as Salem, Jerusalem. So it ended and it exited out of the United States in South Carolina exactly at Fort Sumter. Why could that be important? It's where the beginning of the Civil War started, Fort Sumter, South Carolina. What's interesting here is this new eclipse begins in Eagle Pass, Texas, specifically the park named after General Shelby, Shelby's Park, and this is where the Confederacy, the Civil War, ended. So again, the first one went out, left where the Civil War began. The next one's coming in where the Civil War ended. What else is interesting is, if you're following me right around this time when I'm recording this, you would know that Shelby Park, named after the Confederate General Shelby, and Eagle Pass, Texas, is highlighted front page of the news for the past 6, 7, 8 weeks because of what the state of Texas is doing, defying the federal government, putting up the barbed wire, not letting the federal guard, I forget what the name of them, I apologize, but blocking that off because they were going to cut the barbed wire. And actually, these agents, once they went down there, they said they're not going to stop it because it is protecting Texas. And this goes back to, you know, everything about what the United States is seeing at the southern border, where we're, you know, we're being overrun and it's being done by design. It's intentional. And if you want to deny that, then I'll sell you a bridge. Then the other interesting thing here is this one where we went through seven Salems goes through seven Ninevehs. This is how we're going to get to potentially looking at the book of Jonah. So Nineveh, and again, I'll show you on video here on that little map there with the balloon. That shows you where that is. And then this is modern day Mosul in Iraq. And if you look back to ISIS in the 2011, 2012 area, I believe it was, they were destroying all of the sites, anything associated with any type of religious connotation, specifically Jewish or Christians. So, you know, that's what Nineveh is. And that is where Joshua went to warn the people about, the city of Nineveh. If you're not familiar with the book of, Jonah. I think I said Joshua. I apologize. Jonah is what I was referring to. So, again, I'm just going to point out on video what we're talking about with Shelby Park. This is, you see the highlight. There's a curator there from the museum showing the general. I show you the map on the right. You see Shelby Park going right across from the Rio Grande River into Eagle Pass, Texas. You see some of the fencing there. So what I find interesting myself is we see where this is beginning and the end of where the Civil War is. And what I'm observing in Texas, and that is a state versus federal war, if you go back to the Civil War, and obviously centered on the abolition of slavery, thank God, but it was a state versus federal. And what I'm seeing here in Texas and really spreading throughout the United States because of sanctuary cities, it's becoming a state versus federal situation. So if you look at the city of Nineveh, and what happened was Jonah was dropped from belly of the giant fish, the whale, And interestingly enough, side note, people, of course, look at that and go, oh, that's crazy. That can never happen. There actually is a couple of occurrences where people were swallowed by fish and lived and came out. And there was a gentleman in Massachusetts, I think over the last 5, 6, 7 years, somewhere around there, where something similar happened. So in other words, we do see an example of this happening. But now we're going to go back to the eclipse and Nineveh. So a total solar eclipse over Nineveh in northern Iraq, because of the software we can date back and historical records, took place on what we know as June 15th, 763 BC. And this is the time frame of where Jonah was. So there was a gentleman named Donald Wiseman. I'll put it on video. He was what's called an Assyriologist, studying the ancient empire of Assyria. He was a former curator at the British Museum. So he argued this, that this eclipse would help explain the dramatic reaction to Jonah's preaching. According to these writings cited by Wiseman, here's what a solar eclipse would have meant to them. The king will be deposed and killed, and a worthless fellow will seize the throne. Rain from heaven will flood the land. The city walls will be destroyed. Assyrians tell us such a time there would be a solemn fasting, and the king would have held over his throne to a substitute until the danger passed. At least once there was a total solar eclipse, the Assyrians cry, Nineveh shall be overthrown. This is what it would have meant. So what this gentleman did in his research is many, many, many years ago, before any of this happened, but his point was to get an entire city the size of Mosul today, you know, thousands and probably, you know, easily over 100,000 people converted, repented. He said that is much more difficult to fathom in that day or 2 days, whatever it was, than for somebody to be spit out from the belly of a whale or a fish. So he believes, in the way it's laid out, and the facts do support it, that there was an eclipse at that day. And so the consensus is that this is really what convinced the people of Nineveh at that time that God is with this man, God, and this warning is coming to repent of your sins. And we know that the people did repent, and the Lord spared them at the time. Eventually, justice came around down the road, but because they did repent and heed the warning of the Lord, this is what happened. So I'm looking today as, let's say this is a warning to the nation, because this is against America. This is this X and this Aleph that forms is specifically over America. This is for the nation or the, of America, if you are to believe this. And you don't have to, but I'm pointing out what the facts look at, and then you be the judge and jury. But I look around, I'm going to show you some pictures. The pictures on the right are what we're seeing on the southern border today by Eagle Pass, Shelby Park, Arizona, California. Fentanyl, the cartels, the war there, the human trafficking, the sexual slavery. This is all stuff that this country is allowing to happen. The government has the ability to do something about it, and they're choosing not to. And it's, you know, it's also a matter of policy and party, and it's what they've decided to do. And it's at the highlight now of getting into the election season, of what they're arguing. So aside from that, of what we see in general, and not only in the United States, but around the world, lawlessness and crime has just escalated. Corruption, disease, the breakdown of the family, famines. We've lost the love for the word of God. Wars and rumors of wars, what Jesus talked about, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes. We've seen many, many earthquakes. And I point to abortions and the murdering of children. And, and as soon as that law passed where it was up to the states, people on the left, and they're making this the focal point of elections and policies. And it, this defies the word of God. You are defying the Lord. And You know, there are people who do not believe in, or I will say, Christians compromise the Word of God, at least in this country, pretty regularly. You know, in terms of policies that they'll wink at evil and support things, and you know, they'll call themselves Christians, but you know, when it comes to honoring the Lord and honoring God's Word, I don't always see that. And this isn't some, not in all of them, but I'll get off my soapbox. But I look now at the church. You have apostasy. You have the compromising of the word. You have sin, you know, not only in the pulpits, but, you know, in the pews. And there's sin everywhere. We've all sinned. But it's an escalation. It's growing. The woke culture, how the church is embracing and compromising the word just to meet the culture. And the rise of anti-Semitism, not only out in the world, especially if what we've seen with the war with Gaza and Israel, but we see it in a lot of churches. There's a lot of churches that are condemning Israel or Israel's right to defend themselves. So now we're moving more towards Jonah. Now, I've set that foundation that this could be what we see in Scripture. I'm winding this down. I'm going to go to what Jesus said about Jonah. Some of the scribes, and I'll go to the video, some of the scribes and Pharisees told Jesus, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He replied, "An evil and adulterous generation craves a sign, yet no sign will be given except to the sign of the prophet Jonah. Because just as Jonah was in the stomach of the sea creature for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment and condemn the people living today because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. But look, something greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South will stand up and condemn the people living today because she came from so far away to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But look, something greater than Solomon is here," which is clearly Jesus. But notice there's twofold here. He points to the Son of Man will be in the earth for 3 days and three nights, as Jonah was, but he also points at the repentance of the people of Nineveh. And so you really have this Western and Eastern view. And I've done this before where I've studied the book of Jonah and, you know, how that relates to Jonah being in hell and Jesus going down into hell and the scriptures that back that up. Then there's the Eastern view, which points to the sky being dark. There are stories and accounts of this in other cultures that back this up, that this happened at this time. So there's those two. Now, something even more interesting. So we've got this coming up. I'm going to go to video. 7 days before this Easter or Resurrection Sunday, there's a lunar eclipse, which happens to be on the Feast of Purim, and 7 days after is the solar eclipse on the 8th. So what's going on here now? Again, back to the sevens, seven being the number of God, the number of perfection. Is the Lord showing us something? So looking at Purim, which is about the book of Esther, okay? So let me show you if you're not familiar with it. Purim commemorates the saving of the Jewish people from the annihilation at the hands of the official of the Achaemenid Empire named Haman, and it is recounted in the book of Esther. Haman was the royal advisor to the Persian king Ahasuerus. The festival of Purim will take place this year on the evening of March 23rd to the evening of March 24th. In Jerusalem, where Shoshan Purim is celebrated, the festival takes place on the following day, from the 24th to the 25th. Here's where it gets even more interesting. So this year on Purim, at this time, matches exactly the same solar and lunar eclipses in that same day on Purim as when the real story of Esther happened in 480 BC. So I'm showing you the side-by-side. And you can see where the moon, sun, the year, the month, the days, this all happened at the same time. And Esther, the book of Esther, has always been known to mirror the book or the description of the end times. Specifically, as we look at what's happening today, the rise of anti-Semitism, the Jews being isolated, I'm in America today. The American leadership is trying to squeeze the Israeli government now from not moving in certain military areas in Gaza. So it's kind of all playing out. And then there's even more. And now, so this is on April 8th. And what is, so for Exodus 4-8, April, May, I'm sorry, January, February, March, April 4-8. So if you go to Exodus 4-8, what happens? Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. So that was his words to Moses. So here you have it. And I'm going to just dial a little bit more. I'm going to go back to video. You see the Aleph. You see two giant crosses in the middle. One is from Kerrville, Texas. The other one is Effingham, Illinois. There's a whole bunch of other ones where this goes through different parks or areas that are immensely large crosses. I've gone through the dimensions of this before. If you hone in or if you look this up, I've know people who have been to the Kerrville, Texas area, and you know, people just say it's just a place where they've met the Lord, and it's, you know, it's like a private garden where you can just meditate, pray, seek the Lord. And there's a number of these all around the country, but it just happens that they're going through all of these locations where these crosses are. And then I just remind you that the Revelation 12 star happened again in 2017, took place this past September. We've covered that before. So, you know, the question is the Lord showing us things here of what is to come? I believe the overwhelming evidence points to it is. He's trying to get our attention, trying to get America to repent, to you know, I saw, I think it was about maybe a month or so ago, Pastor Jack Hibbs out of his church in California, just wonderful, wonderful church and pastor. And, you know, he prayed in the Congress at the request of the Congress. And, you know, it was like a 3-4 minute prayer. And it was a great prayer. It was very simple, very basic. But he asked the Lord to help us, to help the Congress for wisdom in doing their duties, writing the laws, and to forgive us of our national sins. And people took exception to that. And they, you know, and they start, now they're labeling them a wacko and this and that, and Christian nationalist is the new buzzword for a lot of these people. But this is, you know, there's that line being drawn in the sand, in my opinion, of are you on the side of the Lord or not? Because it's black and white. It's right and left. It's one and two. You know, it's binary. It's, you know, it's decision time. So we won't know until all of these things play out over time. But this is what's going on now. So I'm reporting to you what I see, what's happening, the numbers that are forming, the patterns over the seismic zone. Could this be the two rivers crossing? Time will tell. I don't know. But it got my attention, and I hope it would get yours and to others. And if not for anything else, if this is just a means of drawing us closer to the Lord, seeking his face, seeking his forgiveness, then, you know, job well done. Let me close with this. Isaiah 46, 9 through 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure. So the Lord has made it abundantly clear over time. He's showed us prophecies. I've talked about over 20, I think it's 27 or 28% of the Bible is prophetic. There is not one prophecy that's come to pass that has not been proven 100% accurate. There's, I think we've gone through over 600 of them. There's maybe somewhere around 400 more to go. But they've come to pass. And the Lord showed it from the end, from the beginning. He told you what would happen. It's the only religious book in the world, in any other kind of religion. He tells you to, not only to me, to it's an act of mercy that points to him as being omniscient, as being outside of time. And then finally, Revelation 22, 13 through 15 says this, I am the Alpha and the Omega, or the Lef and the Tav, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I highlight this part. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates. This is the gates we talked about earlier, into the city. If you don't, outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. So it's pretty clear, you know, that's it. I mean, I don't think I can make it any more clear. So if you have any questions or comments, please email russickoutlook@gmail.com. I'd be happy to take them. Absolutely would love to hear any prayer requests that you have as well. Would certainly pray over them. My name is Mark. You've been listening to the Russick Outlook. And remember, as always, just my opinion.